In the meantime, it is time for us to look away from the television screens and pick up a good book, and something a bit special for us in Book Club today, because I get to welcome a fellow broadcaster and book lover to the show who's just given birth to her own book baby called The Skipper's Daughter. Nancy Richards, I think a name that needs very little introduction to any South African audience. She is a seasoned journalist in both radio and print. She's also the founder of the Women's Zone Storytelling Initiative and the Women's Library at the Artscape, and we've spoken to her about all of those things in the past, but what an enormous pleasure it is for me to welcome her to Book Club today to talk about the woman at the helm of her new book, her mother, also named Nancy, the skipper's daughter of the title. This book tells the really extraordinary story of how in 1938, at the age of just 16, that Nancy went to sea on a commercial vessel and literally sailed around the world. Nancy Richards the Younger, it's a great pleasure to have you with us on Cape Talk this afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Oh, honestly, I tell you what, Pippa, it's such an unbelievable honor to be on the other side of chatting to you. And I just have to tell you, you amaze me unbelievably. I don't know how you multitask. I mean, you're watching the Olympics, you're reading books, watching television, you're broadcasting at the same time. So hats off to you.
Well, thank you for that, Nancy. You know exactly how it's done because you've done it so well yourself for so many years. And congratulations on the arrival of the book. I think it's literally just hit the shelves within the last week, hasn't it?
It certainly has, but I mean, it has been a very long time coming, I must tell you. It's been, well, I mean, it's kind of been a lifetime, but it's been 33 years in the making, so I want to say not a second too soon.
We'll talk about those 33 years and why it took so long in just a second. But just to mention to our listeners that if you are looking for the book, it is called The Skipper's Daughter, and it's published by the independent Caravan Press, who, as you may have heard, have got a Booker Prize longlister in their stable this year. So you're in very, very good company, Nancy.
Sure, am I not ever? And I've just read that Corin Jennings book, which is absolutely astounding. So if anybody's deciding whether it's mine or hers, maybe we should go for her.
I'd say both myself, but there we go. Yeah. Now let's talk about yours. The skipper's daughter in question, your late mother, Nancy Brooks, as she was originally, and the story of the incredible journey she undertook when she was still a teenager and the consequences of that and how it shaped her life. It would be unusual even today to think of a 16-year-old girl going to sea on a commercial vessel, but this was 1938, Nancy. Won't you briefly explain to our listeners how she came to be on board the SS Nailsea Manor?
Yes, absolutely. Well, she was a very willful young lady, as you probably gathered.
Yes.
And I think the situation, a bit like her mother. But the situation was that her father was a ship's captain, and he had been at sea pretty much all her life. And she hadn't seen him for 2 years, when she really, really adored her father. And then he was coming home, and she said to her mother, "I'm going down to see my father. I'm going to the docks." And she went to see him. And I'm not sure if she never actually said if it was a spontaneous decision or if it's something she'd been building up to. But she was chatting to her father and the ship's agent, and she said, "I want to go to sea with my father and blow me down at the age of 16. And the agent said, "Well, you know, I'm not sure about that." But he was very appreciative of the fact that, you know, he was this young girl wanting to go to sea with her father. And eventually he said yes. And so off she went, and she signed up as a shilling a week as the ship's clerk. And on July the 2nd, I think it was, 1938, off she sailed on the SS Nailsea Manor. It was just an extraordinary story. And even more extraordinary still was that, you know, she'd left school without much qualification, but she could type a bit. And she typed this extraordinary diary, this log, on one of those memo pads that you could tear the pages off. And for some reason, it's been kept in the family, and there it was, this memo pad. And for years, I've sort of known about this diary, and I've known about the journey. But as you know, it was all a bit of an unhappy story, so we never really talked about it. It was one of those things.
And I'm sort of mindful, I'm mindful of not wanting to give away too much plot to our audience. I'm not going to explain why it was an unhappy story. Suffice to say, it didn't quite go according to plan the whole way around the world. And we'll let you find out for yourself from there. That diary fragment, Nancy, that's one of the three formats that this book is told in. Firstly, we have Big Nancy, as we'll call her, Nancy Fancy Pants, her own diary entries or ship's log. Secondly, we have her own own adult reflections on the story as she then shared it with you much later in life. And then thirdly, of course, your narrative weaving it all together. I was going to ask what took you so long, 33 years in the making, Nancy, but reading the book, I understand why you needed time to process this and your mother needed time to share the story with you in full. Talk to us a little bit about how you came to tell the story so much later in your mother's life. I mean, as a journalist, having this kind of material sitting in your family kist, as it were, it must have been tempting much, much sooner.
Well, you're very perceptive because it's absolutely true. And I had not just the diary, but we also had her letters and we had press cuttings and we had photographs and all sorts of bits and pieces. And I think that was one of the things that daunted me most was I kept thinking, I don't know where to start. Mm. I just don't know where to start. And maybe 15, 20 years ago, I went to one of those writing courses with this wonderful Anne Schuster. And she said, well, just start, you know, just write down a few bits and pieces. But even then, I couldn't string it together until, and then lockdown happened. And I thought, you know what? It's now or never. So I've just got to do this. Mm. So I phoned the wonderful Karina Sturek, as you pointed out, from Caravan Press. And I said, Karina, have you got half an hour just to listen to me? And she said, yes. And, you know, the benefit of somebody listening to you is absolutely immeasurable. So she very patiently listened to me on a Skype call for about an hour, mm-hmm. banging on about this story. And she said, you know, just start. And I think that was really the magic that did it. She didn't sort of say, you've got to do this or you've got to do that. She said, just start. It will show you the way. Hmm. So I typed everything out. I typed out the log and I typed out the letters and I typed out all the bits and pieces, which was a way of sort of getting it inside my head. And then sure enough, it began to present itself as a way of putting it together. I was a bit concerned that it's a bit fragmented. Mm-hmm. There are, as you point out, lots of bits and pieces. But you know, the beauty of it was, and one of the things that really dawned on me as putting this together, is that we don't write letters anymore, and we don't keep letters. We don't really print out emails. So that it was the honour of having all this material that was still extant, you know, still there for me to work with. Which for sure as hell, you know, my children are not going to have. So, you know, it was one of those things. It just finally came together. I suppose it took, having taken 33 years, and the 33-year bit, I mean, the very beginning catalyst was that one day she had come over from London and we were here together and we had a plane journey that we were on the same flight. And I thought, well, this is a good opportunity. I said, tell me the story. Tell me what happened. And she did. And for 2 hours, she just told me this story. And that was when I thought, oh, my goodness me, this needs to be put down just for the family. I hadn't ever intended it for to be a book. I thought I've just got to, you know, log this for the rest of the family. But having said that, I did sort of fantasize. And I thought, oh, it should be a film. And my sister can play Nancy, and then my daughter can play Nancy. And, you know, it went on a bit too long, and everybody's a bit too long in the tooth to be playing anybody. So the movie, the musical, you know, I had the whole thing. But here we have it. We have the book, The Skipper's Daughter.
And just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, I am in conversation with the author of that book, Nancy Richards. I can tell you that Team South Africa finished seventh in their heat of the 4x400 meter relay. So I don't think that's going to be enough to progress any further, but it was a season best time for them, which is at least something. Let's get back to the reading though. Nancy herself, willful, feisty, delightful to read about, but equally lovely, was getting to know her father through the pages of this book, Nancy. And he sounds like a really remarkable man in the sense that not only was he brave enough to say, absolutely, daughter, come on board the ship with me, going against all good nautical superstitions, one should add, but what I loved was his commitment to helping her get the most out of the experience. I mean, she describes how he not only took her with him, he encouraged her to join adult conversations. He took her ashore to experience different cultures and to meet interesting people and to see the sights. And even on board, he made sure that she was being taught how to master the navigational tools and to learn Morse code. Really, really clear that she was drinking it all up and grabbing all of those opportunities, which would have been so unusual for a young woman of the time. And it really shows how much of an impact it had on her that in this book, we learn that she kept on corresponding with many of the people she met along the way, didn't she?
Yes, yes, indeed, she did. Yeah, I mean, she was a sponge, you know. She was so available for all the learning that she was offering her. So it was a sort of a two-way thing. But it's very, very, again, as you say, it reflects very much in her diary that the observations she makes. I think, you know, a 16-year-old girl these days would so not be talking about the price of this or slaves that or any of the other things that she came across. So I think his influence was very much there. But another thing that you might have recognized is that she was very conscious of the fact that her father was probably going to read this diary.
Yes.
So she was quite guarded about, you know, he may have had too much to drink here or there. So I think she was quite careful about how she worded it. But she also, I think she wanted to impress him. Yeah. You know, she wanted him to be proud of her. And, well, no, I was just about to give a spoiler there, but I'm not going to do it. But,
stop right there, please.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But what she doesn't talk about is the rather nice looking second mate who was on board. I remember she was 16. There she was, this bright young thing, in a ship full of men. I mean, in itself, that is about as unpolitically correct as you could possibly get. you know, I'm sure there were other stories that she's not telling.
Oh, well, we'll leave that to her. But suffice to say that the second mate goes on to play a very significant role later on in the story, which we'll leave for our listeners to read for themselves. Very touching to read her description towards the end of the book of what her father had meant to her and the sense of closeness that the journey had given her and, you know, the sense of just this absolute adoration of who he was. And that was very touching. Equally touching for me, though, Nancy, was to read your own comments towards the end about how the experience of writing this book and telling the story sort of shifted your own understanding of and pride in and perspective of your own family. How did the process make you look at them differently?
Oh, I mean, you've touched on an emotional nerve here because at first it felt very lonely. And then I felt like all these people were with me. And I had this analogy of being in a tiny little boat all by myself, and then suddenly Karina was in the boat, and then my sister was in the boat, and my son was in the boat, and then all these people who were supporting were in the boat, those who are still alive and those who passed. It felt like they were very much with me. And my grandfather, who of course I never knew, he was, you know, I kept thinking, oh my goodness, what sort of a chap must he have been? And I think my father, who I, you know, when we were kids, he was very much not around because he too was a ship's captain. So we never saw much of him. And I learned so much about him. I sort of felt perhaps we had shortchanged him as daughters. And and I felt, you know, that as much as it's a tribute to Big Nancy Richards, it's also a tribute to Captain Ron, well, Saunders Richards, you know. So, it brought us all closer. And I have to say that I've dedicated it to both my sisters because it was a story that when we were kids, we all shared. We never talked about it, but we all shared that story. So it's been important to us all. And at last, it's between two covers and it's out there. She is afloat.
And we've so enjoyed sailing on the voyage with you, Nancy. Well, we being the few lucky few who've had some advanced copies to get a look at. Everybody else has the privilege now of picking it up for themselves. And a few listeners sending messages about how much they're looking forward to doing so. Anonymous saying, I'm so looking forward to reading this book. Meeting Nancy, that would be you, little Nancy, has been one of the loveliest consequences of writing my own book. And I miss bumping into her at book launches at the book lounge. Congratulations, Nancy. We all miss the book launches at the book lounge so badly.
Yes, it breaks my heart, but I have promised the wonderful book lounge that if there's any interest, I'd be only too happy to pop down and sign a copy.
Fantastic. Well, I know there is going to be interest. Stephen, certainly very interested and loving hearing you back on air, saying one of the most beautiful voices to have graced the airwaves. Her tone is always so wonderful to listen to. And Stephen, really enjoying hearing you on air with us today. Nancy, it's been a gift to have you on the show. And thank you for an absolutely delightful read. You know, that makes you feel, I wish I could have met these people for myself. But you've done such a good job of bringing them close to us through the covers of the book. And thank you for joining us to chat about it today.
Bless you, Pippa. Now, back to the Olympics.
Back to the Olympics we go. It's not half as much fun, Nancy Richards. Thank you so much. Nancy, the author of The Skipper's Daughter, published by Caravan Press. It has literally just hit the shelves in the last week or two, and you should find it retailing at around about 240 Rand a copy.